Good morning. Today's reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 25. Can be found on 1136 New Brown Bible. Hear the word of God. For I have received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "The cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me."
Okay, if you could take out your sermon outline for this morning. In God We Trust is the series I began a couple of months ago. We're nearing the end of that series. This is part five. And just by way of review, on the front side of your sermon outline, we first looked at why it's important to trust God. And we saw that by trusting in God, we can experience God's perfect peace. Also because trusting in God provides us with a real foundation that we can build our lives. The only foundation that is the rock eternal. God himself is the rock eternal. And then the second main point in the outline, we looked at some of the things that we're tempted to trust other than God, and certainly we're tempted to put our trust and our confidence in wealth or even our own understanding. Roman numeral number 3, to trust God more, we have to learn more about the character, the person of God. And we saw that God is all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful. God's love is unconditional. God will never change. And God, in his very essence, is love. So the more we get to know who God is and about his characteristics, the greater we'll be able to trust him. In this last major section, we're looking at to trust God more at the bottom of the front of the outline. We must learn more of the promises of God. And we looked at a series of his promises to us. And then now the backside, Roman numeral number 5, this is the main last point for this series, to trust God more. And hopefully you have something to write with to fill in the blanks as we go along. But to trust God more, we must remember God's past blessings. Not just what we hope he does for us in the future, but to remember all that he's already done for us in the past. I've mentioned this over the years in different sermons, but I think some of us realize that we may struggle with our memories. We're not blessed with a great memory. And I've talked about my wife's younger brother who was blessed with a photographic memory. He's one of these people that you can tell a phone number to that's relatively important, and he won't even write it down. And you say, "Aren't you going to write it down?" He goes, "No, I got it." And he's got it. I mean, he's that kind of person. You tell a phone number once, he's got it. Great with names, too. I don't have that kind of blessing myself. For those of you who've been around the whole 6 years I've been here, you know what a struggle it's been. I've been in ministry 36 years, and it's always been a struggle. And you say, "How can you be in ministry and have difficulty remembering names?" Well, by the grace of God, that's just one of the things that I have to keep trusting God with. Just remembering people's names. When you meet somebody, I try to write it down as fast as possible. Because I don't know about you, but when somebody says their name, it's like suddenly my mind just goes blank. So it's okay to ask a second time, especially when you're just meeting somebody. That's okay, But when you ask them a third and a fourth time, it gets embarrassing, So that's why I try to write it down as quickly as possible. But many of us, regardless of what kind of memory we have in terms of factual information, when it comes to remembering past blessings from God, it seems as though we all have struggles with sort of the spiritual amnesia. Like God does this wonderful thing for us, and maybe it was just a few days ago, and suddenly, it's like it never even happened. I mean, we just go on to the next big problem or major hurdle that we have in our lives, and we just suddenly forget all that God has done for us. So that's not a matter of IQ. It's not a matter of how great your memory is for information and for facts. When it comes to spiritual things, especially the blessings of God in the past, we all tend to just forget very easily. This is why God has been helping his people throughout thousands of years. In the Old Testament with the Israelites, New Testament now with Christians, the people of God have a struggle remembering what God has done for us in the past. But it's important If we're going to learn to trust him more, we need to remember what he's done for us in the past. Now, capital A, God told his people in the Old Testament to set up memorials to remind them of his blessings. And the first major memorial we're going to talk about in this message, number one, it's the Passover. The Passover feast ceremony that God gave to the Israelites in the Old Testament. It happened, God initiated it when they were in slavery in Egypt, we remember. And God was going to deliver them out of that slavery, out of Egypt. And we all remember, some of you saw the movie, whatever, but you know, there were 10 plagues, 10 acts of judgment from God. The last of the 10 was God was going to kill all the firstborn of both people and animals. And the only way that his people would escape that judgment, because it wasn't just a judgment on the Egyptians, it was going to be a judgment on all the animals and people in Egypt. So God told his people, here's how you're going to escape that kind of judgment. He set up this ceremony, and it's found in Exodus chapter 12. But early on, in Exodus chapter 12, let's bring it up. Exodus chapter 12, verses 25 to 27, God tells his people, when you enter the land, remember God was going to deliver them out of slavery in Egypt and take them to the promised land. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony. Verse 26, and when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Verse 27, then tell them it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshiped. Joe, can we go back a few verses? Let's go back to a little earlier in Exodus chapter 12, in verse 1. In Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, if we can scroll back there, yeah, here we go. So this is where God's going to give them specific instructions about how they're going to be delivered from this 10th and final plague where God would kill the firstborn of all animals and the people. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, verse 2, this month is to be for you the first month of your year. Verse 3, tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. Next verse. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. Verse 5. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Next verse. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Now, it's hard for us to imagine, unless you grew up in an agricultural area where you actually got to experience this firsthand. I never have, but I understand that when you're slaughtering lambs, I mean, it's a horrible, horrible experience, and the sounds that are made, this kind of event must have just been, and we're talking about thousands of lambs being slain, okay, at twilight. Next verse. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. Now this is the Israelite homes. Okay, next verse. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Next verse. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roasted over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Next verse. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. Next verse. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. God's preparing to deliver his people out of Egypt, remember? And so this ceremony was to just remind them of what were the events that were going to happen. So it is the Lord's Passover. Okay, next verse. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. Next verse. The blood that he told them from the lamb, sacrificial lambs, on the sides and tops of the door frames, That blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Okay, thanks, Joe. So God wanted his people to understand, and in a very graphic way, because again, I think a lot of us as Christians, we read these things and we don't stop and think, what was that really like? I mean, as I said, thousands of lambs being slaughtered, and God's telling them to put blood on the tops and sides of their door frames. You know, what a gruesome ceremony. You think, really? You know, what is the point of that? And part of the point is to remind his people that, and again, all the sacrifices in the Old Testament were all looking forward to the coming Messiah, who would be the suffering, the ultimate Lamb of God, who would take away the sins of the world. But remembering how gruesome, how horrible all of this was because of our sin. The price to be paid was going to be horrible. And God would pay that ultimate price through his only son, Jesus Christ. And I realize, you know, especially in most of us, you know, in our lifestyles and growing, the thought of killing a lamb would be hard enough. Taking some of the blood and putting it on our doorposts of our, you know, front doors of our homes, like, wow, really? But God wants us to understand how gruesome this whole sacrifice was. And if we get kind of, you know, just the thought of having to do something like that, it's just so horrible, then what was it like when Jesus died on the cross? Now, some of us have seen the movies in the past, and we understand, yeah, it was pretty gruesome, pretty horrible. But how often do we really think about that? Do we really think about the horror that Jesus went through to pay the penalty for our sin? We should. And the people of God in the Old Testament, the Israelites, were reminded over and over and over again, not only from the Passover, but from all the other animal sacrifices. You know, we're talking about literally probably millions of animals killed throughout those centuries where the people of God were told by God to carry out these sacrifices. And these millions of animals, innocent animals, were killed, all pointing forward to that one ultimate sacrifice, the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. So, you know, the people of God were reminded of this, and if we also look at when God would pass over these homes in Egypt for the first Passover, and it says that God would pass over the homes with the blood on the doorposts. Actually, in the other verses of Exodus chapter 12, it talks about how God would see the blood and not allow the destroyer to destroy the people in that home. And actually, in Psalm 78, we don't have to turn there, but if those of you taking notes, if you want to jot it down, Psalm 78, verse 49. Psalm 78, verse 49, the destroyer in that first Passover is described as a band of destroying angels. And throughout the Old Testament, God used different angels to carry out his punishment and his judgment. The application, again, to New Testament Christians, those of us today who are believers in Jesus Christ, we are the people of God. As I mentioned, God would be sending his son, Jesus, to be the ultimate Lamb of God. That's recorded in John chapter 1, verse 29. That's not in your notes. But John chapter 1, verse 29, John saw Jesus coming and said, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's John chapter 1, verse 29. And then later in the New Testament, and this again is a verse that's not in your notes, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. You don't need to turn there, but 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Let me just read that verse. Now that's in a context where God has judgment and discipline within the body of Christ for those who are living in blatant sin. And again, the analogy of yeast. It says, "Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." And so what God's saying is that because of the sacrifice Christ made for us, that he was the ultimate Lamb of God, what kind of people should we be as believers, as Christians in the New Testament? We are to live lives that are pure and holy and righteous because of what Christ has done for us, because of this great sacrifice. And we'll look a little bit later in this outline about how God reminds us as Christians. But let's go on to this Point number two, the memorials of stones from the Jordan River in Joshua chapter 4. Memorials of stones. That's the blank to fill in for number two. Memorials of stones from the Jordan River, because as God was bringing his people out of Egypt, out of slavery to Egypt, and then we remember the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, and then ultimately when God was going to bring his people into the promised land, they had to cross a river called the Jordan River. And God did a miracle there. Just as when they left Egypt and they crossed the Red Sea, remember the parting of the Red Sea? That was a miracle. Now God does another miracle in drying up the Jordan River so that these hundreds of thousands of people can cross the Jordan River on dry ground. And in Joshua chapter 4, verses 20 to 24, could you bring that up, please? And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. Earlier, God had told them, when you get halfway across this dry riverbed, have a representative from each of the 12 tribes pick up a stone from that dry ground and carry it to the other side. And they're going to set up a stone memorial. So when they had set up the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan, verse 21, he said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, what do these stones mean? Next verse. Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. Okay? And then next verse. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. And the last verse, 24. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Now that's real important, verse 24, because it gives us the context of why God did all these miracles. And we have to remember that as the people of God in the New Testament, God doesn't just bless us and answer our prayers and deliver us from different things, you know, because we asked him to, and it's good for us. It is obviously good for us. And we should be thankful, and we should be grateful when God provides our needs and answers our prayers. But you know, ultimately, it's not just for our sake. It's that God might glorify himself, that he might magnify himself, and that we might learn as his people to obey and to be faithful and to be obedient and to fear God with that reverential fear, to experience his love, but to also have this reverential love back to God. Because God does these miracles not just for ultimately for our sake, but even to glorify himself. Now, here's the thing about God's deliverance of his people out of Egypt into the promised land. And this is something, even though I've been studying these things for years, I never thought about this until just this past week. But God's deliverance out of Egypt in the miracle of them, the people crossing the Red Sea, parting the Red Sea, and now he's going to bring them into the promised land, another miracle where he takes them across the Jordan River. Out of Egypt, out of slavery in Egypt, into the promised land. It's very much like our salvation experience today, that we have to remember it's at least two elements. God is saving us from something to something. Because some folks, some well-meaning folks, you know, they think, well, I want to make sure when I die, I'm going to heaven. That's a good thing. But they forget that God is delivering us from something as well. And that is the bondage, the slavery to sin. And if we don't understand that, then we're kind of missing the whole point about why God provides salvation. His salvation is from something horrible to something wonderful. Both go together to experience the fullness of God's salvation. He's saving us from slavery to sin. He's taking us to the promised land that we might live a new life in Jesus Christ. Okay, look at your last point. It's not the last one. Capital B. God tells us in the New Testament to remember Christ's death for us when we take communion. We just served communion last week. Was it just last week? Yeah, this is fine. Yeah, because we usually do it the first Sunday every other month, but the first Sunday this year was Easter Sunday, so we postponed it to the second Sunday, which was last week. So that's the purpose of communion, is that we might remember past blessing. The greatest blessing that we can experience as people is to come to faith in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 25, I believe was read for us earlier. The Passover in the Old Testament was to look forward to what God would do through the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, his ultimate sacrifices. Communion is the New Testament way of God helping us to look back to the cross. So it all revolves around the cross. The Old Testament Israelites looking forward, the New Testament believers, Christians, looking back to the cross. Old Testament, animal sacrifices. New Testament, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. So we don't have animal sacrifices anymore. Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. And every time we take communion, the Lord's table, whatever you want to call it, it is a ceremony that was instituted by God to help us to remember in a very significant way all that Christ has done for us. Capital C, what memorials or personal stories remind us of God's past blessing to us? What memorial, that's a blank to fill in, is personal stories. What memorials or personal stories remind us of God's past blessings for us? Now, you know, God's not telling us to set up stone monuments anywhere. And certainly, we have to understand, he's not talking about idols. We don't set up something and then worship the object. The object reminds us of some past blessing from God, whatever it might be. It might be something small, it might be something big. Now, for me, one of the smallest examples I can suggest, and this one is personal, is pretty small, but it just happened even yesterday. I got this tie clip, and those of you who've been around, you know that I tell stories about bargains and stuff, and you know, you think, well, Pastor Lewis is very thrifty. And so I needed something, a tie pin or a tie clip, and I saw them in the stores. They're like $15, $20. I said, really, for just that little thing? So I was thinking, well, God, maybe you could help. I go to these garage sales once in a while, flea markets. God, maybe you could help me find one really inexpensive, and it would be, you know, what I would use whenever I have to wear a tie. I don't have to wear a tie very often, but when I do, you know, I performed a funeral yesterday, so I had my tie and a suit, and I had this on. And I remember telling somebody before the service, I said, you know, this tie clip, every time I wear it, it reminds me of God's blessings. It's a small thing. Because when I was asking God to help me find a tie clip at a garage sale for much cheaper, he did. I think I paid 25 cents or 50 cents for this. It looks brand new. Even has the original box, okay? Wait a minute. Here's the thing, though. It has a letter on it. It's an L. You say, ooh, Pastor Lewis is so lucky. He finds this nice tie clip with the original box. Even got an L on it for Lee. You know, I paid 20 cents. Wow, how lucky. Yeah, I'm certainly you could interpret it that way. Just luck, just, you know, coincidence. Or you could say, it's a reminder from God that he takes care of me and my needs, big or small. Big or small. Pretty small. But every time I wear it, I remember God's past blessing. Much bigger blessing, and I've shared this before, and so I won't give you all the details. Some of you have heard this several times now, but God's blessing back in 2005, 10 years ago, when we sold our home in San Lorenzo in the East Bay. We bought it in 1982 for $90,000. We sold it in 2005 at the peak of the housing market for $600,000. Old house, not that big. It's all about location. It's all about the market. The market was so hot at the time, we didn't even use a realtor. We knew we didn't have to. We just put an ad in the paper, had our own open house, sold it within an hour and a half for $30,000 above our asking price. Now, you have to understand. You say, well, yeah, Pastor Lewis just hit the jackpot, you know, whatever. Wow, wonderful. But you have to understand, you know, all those years in ministry, I've been in ministry now 36 years. I don't have a pension. Not much of, you know, retirement funds, whatever. And at the time, 10 years ago, I was talking to my wife, like, well, you know, the house is appreciated quite a bit. So God blessed us with the sale of that house. $600,000, no realtor commissions, no fees even to do the paperwork because the buyer had a brother who's a realtor. And it was a Saturday, she calls him up, he comes over, and obviously as a seller, you know, you think, come on, you gotta have some common sense here. You don't just trust the buyer's realtor to write up the papers, you know, until we found out he's a committed Christian. And when he found out I was a minister, he offered to do all the paperwork for free. Say, wow, Pastor Lewis is so lucky. No, I'm very blessed, I'm very blessed. And so every time I think about a house, every time I think about real estate, whatever, it's like, wow, God's blessed us in so many ways. Big or small, a little tie clip, a house, whatever it is, whatever our concerns are in life. And obviously everybody here today has different concerns. Some are little, some are pretty big. Can we trust God? Just remember back on God's blessings in the past. Remember how God has answered prayer in the past. Remember how God cares for us in so many different ways. Every time I'm out in the woods somewhere, like on a camping trip or a Christian gathering, whether it be a retreat or a conference somewhere, it's a reminder when I look up into the trees or the night sky with all the stars in the sky. It reminds me back when I was 12 years old, back in 1966, when I was at a Christian camp. First time, not just a Christian camp, first time I'd been outside in the woods anywhere, and that's where I became a Christian, 1966. So every time I'm around the woods or the night sky and I see the stars or whatever, it's a way for God to remind me of his past blessings. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and that was the first time I heard the gospel. And my older brother, who was there at the same camp, heard the same messages, had the same opportunities, to this day is still not a believer. God's blessings and God's grace. How does God remind us? Through many different ways. If we are sensitive and if we're concerned about looking for ways that we can be reminded. Because all of us have spiritual amnesia, and we need to remember how God blesses us, especially if we're going through a difficult time. And like most normal people, whatever problem we might have, we tend to focus on it, and the more we focus on it, the bigger and bigger it gets. And some, as I said before, it's different things that we're troubled with. Some things are pretty big, even without focusing on them. And they can become overwhelming. And we have to try to remember, how has God blessed me in the past? How has God worked in my life in the past? How has God blessed me in so many different ways that I tend to forget? And that will help us to trust him more, no matter what the circumstances might be. Next week, I'm going to talk about preparation for the June event. And, again, as I said earlier, it's a huge event. Those of you who've been involved with it in the past, you have some idea. We're talking huge amounts of manpower, of volunteers. Really appreciate all those who've been involved, especially in leadership of the event. But I think we need to be reminded that it's not just a time to make over 5,000 zheng. And if you don't know what a zheng is, some people have described it as a very large Chinese version of a tamale. Okay, they're wonderful. If you've never tasted one, you don't know what you're missing, you definitely want to get some. But as I mentioned last week and the last couple of weeks, when we purchase those zheng, hey, enjoy them ourselves, share them with friends and family, you know, wonderful blessing. But also think of it, if you can afford it, buy a few extra and give them to folks that you're building relationships with. I'm getting an extra dozen for that purpose, whether they be relatives or neighbors or friends, and share it with them as a form of our outreach. And so I think today is supposed to be the last day to prepay the pre-orders, right? And so if you haven't done so, please make sure you see any of the leaders. It's okay, Phyllis. Who are the folks that they should be seeing after church? Okay, so mainly Phyllis after service, okay, during our fellowship time. But again, next Sunday, I'm going to be talking about how we can be prepared, not just for all the physical, huge project, but spiritually. And today, even later during our closing prayer, I'm going to ask that everybody, just as we have a silent prayer, that everybody will think of at least one person that we can utilize the zheng as part of our outreach. Okay, at least one person. And we'll be praying about that later, okay? Let's close in prayer now from the sermon time. Let's pray. Our Father God, thanks again for your many blessings. Thank you for how you want us to learn to trust you more day by day. And we know that some here are facing some very troubling circumstances, struggles, challenges. And Father, I pray that you'll just help us to experience your love and your grace more and more day by day, and to overcome that sense of spiritual amnesia where we can remember your work in our lives, your blessings in our lives in the past, and the fact that you love us so much, you sent your son to die for us, and that you raised him from the dead, and he's alive today. And Father, I just thank you again for the opportunity as we learn, as we encourage one another, to learn to trust you more and more day by day. And so, Father, we give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
to make the wretches treasure. Oh, great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one.
Let us pray. Father God, what a privilege it is to come and receive, Lord, your grace, your kindness, your forgiveness, God, and also just a vast history of how you've been part of our lives, God. And we thank you, God, and also appreciate when we have our quiet time alone to reflect back on your faithfulness, where you brought us from, and where and how you're going to lead us home with you one day, Lord, and we'll all be together. Thank you, Lord, and bless these offerings and gifts that we present to you, Jesus, to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. Dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds paid my ransom. His wounds have paid my ransom.
Please stand for the doxology.
The time in our worship service where we have the sharing of praises and prayer requests, and as I mentioned near the end of my sermon, I'd like us just to have a brief 30-second silent prayer where we'll pray about the big Jung project coming up in just less than 2 weeks, and be thinking about not just only all the physical preparations that have to be made, which are mammoth, but just pray that they go smoothly and thank God again for all the volunteers who help. But think about how we can be involved in the outreach, not only inviting folks to come help that weekend, but that the people who are here would really have a sense of God's presence and God's love. And so that the way that we interact with folks, you know, would be part of our outreach and our testimony. You know, obviously a project that large, we can understand how things get somewhat stressful at times, and just that God will give us the patience and his presence and his love so that we can interact again in a manner which would reflect God's love, okay? And then just be praying about our own involvement also in terms of perhaps getting a few extra jung to share as part of our outreach. And remember it in prayer. I mean, even if you can't be here that weekend, please remember to pray these last couple of weeks that this event would be part of our outreach to the community. Okay, so just 30 seconds of silent prayer, and I'll begin my prayer with a number of praises and prayer requests in just 30 seconds. Okay, so let's pray together. Now, Father God, we do thank you for all the major events that this church conducts every year, and the Jung event is certainly one of the biggest ones. And Father, I pray that in these next couple of weeks, you'll just help each of us to consider and to be open to how you might want to use us to be part of the project, not only as volunteers, but Father, to be praying, and to also be thinking of how we can personally utilize this event for outreach. And Father, I thank you again for those who lead this huge event, and again for the many, many volunteers who not only will help these next few weeks, but have been helping in the last several months already. And so, Father, we just thank you for these opportunities, and we commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just mention a couple of praises. We do praise God for our monthly consistory meeting we had last Sunday after church. Also, the safety that God has granted to those who've been traveling in recent weeks because of spring breaks and other vacation times. We want to remember to pray for Maybell, who left today for a cruise. Also, Sweetie is leaving for to see her father in St. Louis. And you're leaving when again this week?
Saturday.
And, you know, her father, his health has been up and down the last number of years. And so Sweetie really appreciates every opportunity she gets to see him. And so we'll pray for God's safety for that trip as well. Let's remember to pray for those who've lost loved ones in recent weeks and months, this past year. For Dick's mother, Kit, who passed away 2 weeks ago, went home to be with the Lord. Just thankful that God helped the services to go well yesterday. Also, I just found out this morning from Terry Bowman that Terry's wife, Jan, her sister-in-law, her sister-in-law's mother, who many of you know, Lily Fong, she went home to be with the Lord this past week. I think she attended Chinese Grace Bible. We continue to pray for Stan's grandson, Kyle, who's here today with us, because as we shared last Sunday, a couple of Friday nights ago, he was involved in a very serious car accident. Kyle is recovering from his injuries, but as we mentioned last Sunday, the driver of the other vehicle passed away. So we want to remember to pray for both Kyle as well as this other person's family in this very unfortunate situation. Okay, so please join with me as I remember these praises and prayer requests. Sure, yeah. What was the first name again?
Gregory.
Okay. Thanks, Gordon. I appreciate that. Okay, please join with me as we pray. Let's pray. Our Father God, thanks again for how you bless in so many ways, and even for our church leadership, our consistory, the elders and deacons, that you have blessed us with a real spirit of unity and harmony, serving together, blessing our meeting last week. Thank you also for the safety you've granted to those who've been traveling with spring breaks and other vacation times. And we don't want to take that for granted, Father. We do thank you for watching over each one. We do pray for Maybelle, who's on vacation, as well as for Sweetie as she heads back to St. Louis to see her dad. Just pray you'll bless those several weeks that she has, not only with her dad, but with other relatives in that area. And Father God, we do pray for those who've lost loved ones in recent weeks and months. And we continue to pray for Dick and his whole family, as his mom, Kit, has gone home to be with you. And also for Jan Bowman's, her sister-in-law's mother, Lily Fong, who went home to be with the Lord. And for Gordon and Marilee's close friend, Gregory, who has passed away recently. And we just pray for your comfort for all the families involved and encouragement. And Father, for those who struggle with different physical challenges, whether it be cancer or other illnesses, we do pray for your healing and pray for your protection. I think of my own wife, Eileen, with her foot injury, and just thank you again for the medical care that we can receive and all the friends and family who can assist as well. And Father, we continue to lift up before you Stan's grandson, Kyle, who was in this very unfortunate car accident recently. And we thank you that Kyle is recovering from his injuries. We thank you so much that him and his dad can be here today. But Father, we also pray for the family of the other driver who passed away. We pray for your comfort and for your encouragement. And Father, we thank you for the different ministries of the church. We thank you for, again, as we prayed already, for the June event coming up. And we pray that all of us as a church family can help in every way possible, not only volunteering our time and efforts and skills, but to remember this in prayer and to see this as a great opportunity for outreach. And so, Father, we thank you for all who have been working so hard in recent months already, and for the next couple of weeks, for each of us that will remember in prayer this event. So, Father, thank you again for this day of worship and fellowship. We give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.